We begin the current daf itself. This Yuma daf Yudalf. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion for the previous daf, specifically from the top of this Amud, which is where the Gemara introduced that all the Shiarim, all the gates in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, did not have a mezuzah, except for one of them. That was Shaar Nikanor. The reason why the Braisa tells us is because that gateway was an entryway into the Lishkas Parhedrin. Now, there's a machlokes why there was, but everyone agrees that the Lishkas Parhedrin, the chamber where the Kohen Gadol was separated for the 7 days before Yom Kippurim, which is the concept that our Masechta began with, that Lishka had a mezuzah. Now, there is a halacha, as the Gemara will then go into right now by quoting a Braisa, that Shiarim, the gateways that go into an area that has a mezuzah, is also a chiyuv to have a mezuzah on that shahr too. And therefore the Shaar Nikanor required a mezuzah because since that was an entryway to the Lishkas Parhedrin, which it itself had a mezuzah. So the Gemara continues on this theme regarding the requirements that we find that even Shiarim, not just a Pesach, not just an opening of, let's say, a bayis, but even a shahr requires a mezuzah too. The Tzarban, we learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk that you should write the mezuzahs and it should be uvisharecha on your gates. So on that, the Braisa tells us that Echad Shar Batim, whether it be the gates of houses, the Echad Shar Chatzeres, or whether it be the gates that go into a courtyard, the Echad Shar Medinas, and even if it's the gates that go into provinces. Now, how do you have gates in the provinces? Like Rashi says, there are some provinces that they're surrounded by mountains and forests for many, many parsais, for long distances, and therefore the only way people go into that area is through the gateways that enter into that province. Like, for example, he says in the Eretz Hagar. And therefore, that is something that's applicable to be considered the Shar of the Medina. The Echad Shari Yaris, and whether it be the gates of cities, Yesh ben Chayves Mitzel Amakam, they have an obligation of a commandment to Hashem to have mezuzah on those Shiarim. Mishum Shenemel, as it says in the Pasuk, Uchsavtem al mezuzahs beisecho v'shrecho, you should write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. And therefore, these gates are obligated in the halacha and the chiyuv of mezuzah. So Amalei Abaye l'Rav Safra. So Abaye said to Rav Safra, if that's the case, and that's why this was a continuation of the previous sugya, why the Shaar Nikanor had to have, because that Shaar was the entryway into the Bayis to the Lishkas Parhedrin. But then Hani Abuli de Mechuza, then the gates of this city, which is called Mechuza, which the majority of them were Jewish, and hence there's a chiv, as we said, to have by the Shaar Ha'ir to have mezuzah. My time lo Abdullahu Rabbanan mezuzah. Why didn't Rabbanan make a mezuzah for the gates of the city? So Amalei, so he responded to him, he says, Hanu chizikul akr de kubihu Davidi, that those gates are not meant to be made as a gateway, and hence there is no mezuzah on them. Rather, they were only made as a support for this building, this structure, this tower that was on top of which is called kubi, and the gates which are underneath were made in the form of an arch. But the reason is because a building, the structure that's on top, this tower, is stronger and much better supported when you have an arch underneath. And now, although an arch creates an opening, that's not the purpose of it. It's not actually a shahr, it's just in the shape of one, but rather it's made as a support for the structure on top of it. And that's why there's no mezuzah over there. So, however, Amalei, he said to him and he asked, but based on the structure, the tower that's on top of it, it itself, Tibayi should mandate that the gateway, which is underneath it, should require a mezuzah. And the reason is because through that shahr, although it's not meant for a shahr, it's only meant as a support, as an arch, but through that gateway is how they go up into the tower. Now, the ha'ispe, and so why would that be a reason to require that the shahr requires a mezuzah? Because the ha'ispe dira l'shrayim beis asurim, that tower has an apartment for the watchman of the jail. And therefore, the Tanya learned the Braisa, Beis HaKnesses sheyesh by Beis Diri l'chazna Knesses, although maybe a Beis HaKnesses would be exempt from having mezuzah, but if it has an apartment for the attendant of the shul, chayeves b'mezuzah, it's obligated mezuzah. And therefore, this tower itself should require mezuzah because it has an apartment inside of it. And if that's the case, when you're going through, even though it's not meant as a shahr for the city, but it's an entryway to go up into the apartment, so as we said before, that a shahr that opens up into a, let's say, a bayis, it itself requires, as we said by the Shaar Nikanor on the previous daf, required a mezuzah because it's what opens up into the Lishkas Parhedrin. Here also these avuli de mechuzah, even if it's not meant as a shahr for the city, but it's a way to get into that apartment, which is in the tower, that should mandate that the arches should have a mezuzah. So therefore, Elam Abaye says a different reason why they didn't make a mezuzah on the avuli de mechuzah is mishum sakana, because of danger. And that is that the king shouldn't say, oh, what are the Jewish people do? What are they putting up on the arches of my city? And they must be doing some type of witchcraft. And therefore, because of that danger, that's why they didn't put up the mezuzah. To sound like learning the Braisa, similar halacha, that it says, mezuzas yochid nivdekas. It says that the mezuzah of individuals should be checked, that should check that it didn't decay or that it wasn't stolen, pamayim b'shavua, or the mezuzah should be checked twice every 7 years. Psharabim, and the mezuzah of the public, which is, for example, the shahr of a chutz, of a courtyard, or of the province, or of the city, then it should be checked pamayim b'yevel, twice every 50 years. And the reason is because anything that's incumbent upon the public, you don't want to make it too difficult for them. Because if it's such a difficulty, twice every 7 years, everyone's going to say, no, let my friend do it, let him do it, you know, it's too much for me. Twice every 50 years, it's not such a difficulty, and then people will do it. Now, Vam Rabbi Huda said that Maisa Ba'ar Tavin Echad, there was a story with either that's his name was Artavin or that was his profession, Shayyabaydik Mezuzis Bishoka Elyon Shalzi Pari, that he was checking, as we said, that there's an obligation at least twice every 50 years to check the mezuzahs of the public. So there was this person that was checking the mezuzahs that was in the upper marketplace of Tzipari. Umatze Kazder Echad, and the officer saw him checking, doing something with the gateways of the marketplace of the city. And he gave him a penalty. He took from him 1,000 zuz. And again, that's because of this concern that they're going to say that you're doing something, some type of witchcraft, and therefore he gave him this penalty. And that's the reason why by the Avul de Mechuzah they didn't put up mezuzah at all, because of the danger that's inherent in that. Now the Gemara asks on this interpretation, on this pshat, V'homer Belazar said, Shluchi mitzvah ein nizaykin. We know that those that are on a mission for a mitzvah, they don't get harmed. So how can we say that you don't put up a mezuzah, and he actually brings the story of Yehuda that someone took out $1,000 penalty, but this was on a mitzvah mission. And so therefore, how can one get harmed either regarding sakana or to have a penalty? So now the Gemara answers that, Heichad tekaviyah hazeka, weird that it's very likely that harm will come, and therefore in such a case of, let's say, putting up a mezuzah on the gateways of the city, which the government is always looking for ways to find something wrong that someone's doing, Shani, that's different. And although generally shluchim mitzvah are not harmed, if it's something that is very likely that one will be susceptible to harm, then we don't say that klal. There's still, like it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. V'yemesh Shmuel eich eilich. Shmuel said that, how can I go, Hashem, to anoint David because of the command that you told me to do, but v'shama shol b'haragani? Shol's going to hear that I'm going to anoint David, who's usurping Shol's kingdom, and he's going to kill me. So Hashem said, and basically he agreed to Shmuel, and he says, you know what you should do? Although I'm sending you, and obviously there's no greater shliach mitzvah than that, but eglis bakar tikach b'yadach, you know what, take a young calf in your hands, v'amart l'zvech l'Hashem basi, make believe that you're not going to anoint David. Say, I'm just coming to bring a carbon to Hashem. And so therefore, essentially what you see from there is that even Hashem agreed that even though he's sending him on a mission, shliach mitzvah, yet since it's pretty likely that Shaul is going to hear about it and kill him, so it's Shchiyah Hazeka, and therefore he said to do some type of thing that's uncover, that he won't know what's going on, because there you don't say the klal of Shlich Mitzvah and Nizakin, and that's why regarding the mezuzah, although it's a Shlich Mitzvah, they didn't put it up because of the sakan inherent. Now the Gemara continues on the halachas of mezuzah. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kahana taught the following in front of Rav Yehuda, which results in the machlekes between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda how to interpret a certain halachas. So he said that we learned Beis HaTeven regarding the place where the straw is kept, Ubeis HaBaka where the animals are kept, essentially a barn, Ubeis HaEitzim where the firewood is kept, Ubeis HaEitzim in a place where storage houses are, where they would have wine and oil and grain, and nobody lives in these places. So now the Braisa tells us Peturim in the mezuzah, they're exempt from the mezuzah. And the reason is because women are ne'oisis behen. Now, umay ne'oisis, what does it mean that women are ne'oisis, which it comes from the word hano, that they do pleasurable things inside of this barn and the place where the straw is and the wood. And that, the Gemara says, Rav Kahana said that it means because that's where they bathe. Now, since that's a place where it's degrading, that in the sense of regarding the mezuzah, that because they stand there naked, so it's not covered shemayim for the mezuzah to be over there, and that's why Rav Kahana said in interpretation of the brisa why it says that they're going to be exempt, because although essentially maybe they should be chayiv, but since the women bathe over there, that's why these areas are going to be exempt from the mezuzah. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda said and responded to the way Rav Kahana was interpreting the brisa. He says, wait, you're saying the way you're saying that because the women are in the oasis behen, and you're saying that means bathing. So time of the rechitza. So you're saying the reason why the barn and the place where the straw is and the storage house is the reason why they're exempt from mezuzahs is because the women bathe with it. Hasta machayavim. But it's, I could infer from what you're trying to say is, but if it didn't have the women bathing over there, it was just a regular storage house, it would be chayav in a mezuzah. But on that, by the time we learn the braisa, it contradicts what you're trying to say. The braisa says refes bakar, that a barn that has where the animals are kept in the stable, a perturim in the mezuzah, are exempt from the mezuzah. And therefore you see that stam, even without women being ne'isis ben, without them being roichets, without them bathing over there, still they're going to be exempt. So how can you say in that other brisa that we see that they would be chayiv if they didn't bathe over there? So elamai, so what Rav Chizda says, so what do you have to say ne'isis means? What does ne'isis mean? It means miskashtos. It means that's where the women would adorn themselves with besamim, with different perfumes. Now, I would think, and this is how Rav Chizda interprets the first brisa, I would think that would make it into a deer, into a dwelling, because that's where women get themselves beautiful over there, not bathing, that they're not dressed. Therefore, I would think to say that it is a dira. And this is what the Braisa was saying, that afapi, you have to add on like the words, even though, shanoshim iskashas behen, even though they're in the oasis, which he's interpreting is that's where they beautify themselves over there, and I would think that would make it into a base dira, because we are actually using it for domain type purposes. And that is what the chiddush is, peturin, that even though that they're ne'isis, they're, even though they make themselves miskashes, but it's still not a base deer, it's not where they live, and therefore it's going to be exempt from the mezuzah. However, regarding if it would be stam, of course it would be potter. It's saying even the bigger chiddush, that even if it's not just plain a base ha-tevin or a base ha-bakar, but even if the women are using it for beautiful purposes, still it's not going to be considered a base deer, because to say stam would be chayiv, I have a different brace that contradicts that and says a regular barn is potter from the mezuzah. Rather, the chiddush is that even if it has women, it's still going to be potter. So only Rav Kahn responded back to Rav Chizda. He says, wait a second, the way you're interpreting the braisa is difficult in its own right. You're telling me, v'shanoshim iskashtes ben beturin, you're telling me that the ne'oisis means that they beautify themselves over there. And you're saying that the chiddush of the first braisa is, even though they beautify themselves, still it's going to be potter. Because a regular barn, a regular besa etzim, you're potter. Is that really so? But by the time you learn the braisa that says, Refes, Bakar, Peturim, the mezuzah. It says that a regular barn is exempt from the mezuzah. Vishanoshim iskashtis, but chayeves be mezuzah. But it says clearly that if the women do beautify themselves over there, they put on their perfume over there, that it would be chayev in the mezuzah. And that contradicts your interpretation of the braisa. Because you're saying that even if they are miskashtis, then they're going to be potter, when here clearly the braisa says they're going to be chayev. So therefore, Rav Kahana concludes and he says, Elamayas l'chalamem. So what do you have to say? In other words, although you're interpreting the ice is different than me, and you're saying it means miskashtos, that even though they beautify themselves, still they're potter, but you still have the contradiction of the braisa, just like I have a contradiction that you asked me from a different braisa, so you have to say that it's a machlokes tanoim. So what do you say? You say miskashtos tanoim. You say, oh, everyone agrees the way you argue on me, Rav Chizda, you say that everyone holds that stam bakar is going to be exempt. But you have to say, even according to your own interpretation, that miskashtos, that regarding if they do beautify themselves over there by putting on the perfume, that is a machlekes. That the first braisa that we were discussing is a case of that braisa would hold that you're going to be potter. But then I brought you another braisa that holds clearly if the miskashtos, they're chayiv. So l'didin, nami stam etanoihi, so what are you asking on me? According to my opinion, I also say that the case of stam besa tevin, is also machlokes tanoim. And that is my interpretation was that it's only because they bathe over there in the barn or in the place where the firewood is or the storage houses, that's why they're not dressed, and therefore that's not covered for Hashem, and that's why it's exempt. But if they did not bathe over there, it would be just plain, then it would be chayiv. Now, although you brought me a brayse that says a plain barn is potter, fine. It's a machlekes tanoim. Just like you have a machlekes tanoim regarding miskashtas, I have machlekes tanoim regarding the case of when they're just plain, when they're not bathing over there. So the Gemara says the time like Linda Braisa, similarly the same machlekes of Kahan and Rabbi Yehuda regarding their opinions, what is the case that's debated? In other words, does everyone agree by the case of when the, for example, like Rabbi Yehuda, that when it's plain that it's going to be potter, and the whole machlekes was regarding the case of when they adorn themselves, or is it like Rav Kahana, who he said that no, that even the case of plain is the machlekes, and not like Rabbi Yehuda that everyone agrees in that case. And this is the two different opinions. They have the same machlekes regarding the following brisa. It says in the pasuk regarding mezuzahs beis secha, the mezuzahs of your house. Now that the brisa tells us beis secha hamayuchad l'cha. It means to say the house that's distinct, that's set aside for you. Now, what does it exclude? Prat Labes HaTab, and that excludes the place where the straw is kept. Ulabes HaPakar, and to the place of the barn. Ulabes HaEitzim, and to the place where the firewood is kept. Ulabes HaEitzim, and the storage houses of the wine and the oil and the grain. Shepeturim and the mezuzah, that they're exempt from the mezuzah, because that's not set aside for you. It's not where you live. It's where you put your other things away, your storage. That's going to be exempt from the mezuzah. V'yesh mechayven. However, those that hold that all these cases that we just quoted, the barn and the place of the firewood, that is going to be chayv mezuzah. So that's a machlokes tanoim. Now, each one of the amiram are going to explain the brisa regarding this machlokes according to their opinions. But first, the Gemara concludes the brisa and says, be'emes amr, in truth they said, that a beis hakisei, a bathroom, ubeis habursiki, and the tannery, ubeis hamerchatz, and the bathhouse, ubeis hatvila, and a place where there's a mikvah, v'sha'anoshim ne'oisis ben, and where women are ne'oisis ben, which will also be argued upon l'shitasam. What that means, does that mean that's where they bathe or where they beautify themselves? Peturim and the mezuzah, these areas are not as clean and they're on a lower level than the other ones, a bathroom and a bathhouse, and they will be exempt from the mezuzah. So now the Gemara illustrates how they argue l'shitasam. So Rav Kahana, that he said that the machlikis was regarding a case of stam, that he held that there's a brisa holds without anything else, even with women not beautifying themselves. That one brisa holds that you'll be chayiv in the mezuzah, and one holds that you're going to be potter. So he's metarz l'tameh. He explains the brisa according to his opinion that we mentioned before. Rav Yehuda, that he says that no, everyone agrees regarding stam that there you're going to be potter from the mezuzah. The whole machlokes is regarding if women adorn themselves, oh, maybe that makes it already a higher level. It's somewhat of a base dira. That is where the machlokes was. He's metarz l'tameh. He explains the brisa according to his reasoning, as the Gemara explains. Rav Kahana Metatz L'Tameh, he explains as follows. It says in the Pasuk, mezuzahs beisecha of your house, which are beisecha miyuchad lach. It means the house that's distinct, that's used for you, the human. Prat lebeis ha-tevin, that excludes the place where the straw is kept, ulebeis ha-bakar, where the barn is, ulebeis ha-eitzim, the firewood, ulebeis ha-eitzis, and from the storage house, shepeturim min mezuzah bestam, that it's exempt in the case of a regular barn, let's say. V'yesh mechayiv in bestam, and that those that hold that it's chayiv stam in the regular case, and that's because Rav Kahana answers according to the way he said that they argue regarding a case without women beautifying themselves, just a regular barn. But if they would beautify themselves according to Rav Kahana, everyone would agree that it would be chayiv in the mezuzah. Now the brisa concludes be'emes amr, in truth they said that beis hakisei, a bathroom, a beis hapurski, and the tannery, a beis hamerchatz, and the bathhouse, a beis hatfila, and the place where they immerse themselves. V'shanoshim ne'oisis behen, and where the women are ne'oisis now, umay ne'oisis. What does it mean ne'oisis? So according to his opinion, Rav Kahana mentioned before, it means roichatzis, where the women bathe. And that is the beis ha-tevin, the beis ha-bakar, and the beis ha-eitzim, where the women bathe, are peturim in the mezuzah. They're exempt from the mezuzah. And that is even though there is an opinion that holds that in these cases, which is a machlokes tanoim, is chayiv. But if women, and that's how we explained the first brisa, that's how Rav Kahana started off this discussion, by saying that that brisa holds, although that you're chayv by a regular barn, but since the women bathe over there, it's going to be potter, that's what the brisa is saying now over there. But if the women are ne'isis ben, meaning going back on the cases of the beis habakar, not of the beis hakisi, which is the lower category, but even the previous category, that itself would demote it and say that it's not going to be mechayv and mezuzah because it's not covered for Hashem, where that's where the women are not dressed. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, according to Rav Kahana's interpretation, Ihachi Haina Merchitz, that's essentially the same as the bathhouse. We already said that a bathhouse does not require mezuzah, according to everybody. So, if Ne'oisis is saying that, let's say, the barn, that that's where the women bathe, is going to be potter from the mezuzah, even according to the one that holds this chayiv, like the first brisa we had, so, but that's the same thing as the other case that says already have a bathhouse. So, that Rav Kahana answers, Ashmi'inan Merchitz to Rabim, Vashmi'inan Merchitz to Yachad. No, I had to say a type of a bathhouse twice, because one is telling us a case of a private bathhouse, and one's telling us about a public bathhouse. Because the Salkadar, the Chamina, Merchatz, the Rabim, the Nafish, Duame, I would have thought if I only would have said the case of Merchatz being exempt from the mezuzah, I would have thought to say a public bathhouse where it's very foul, and that's because of the odor and all the different things, because of the many people, that's exempt from the mezuzah. But a private bathhouse, let's say where a woman has her own in her barn or in our storage house, where it's not so filthy, I would say that would still be mechuyev in the mezuzah, kamash malon. That's why it says that, however, if the women are ne'oisis behen, meaning going back even on the case of beis habakar, which there is that opinion of mechayev, that you would be chayev, if they bathe over there, even if it's a private one, then it's still going to be exempt from the mezuzah. Now, Rashi tells us the reason why we needed the case of beis hatvila, of where they immerse in the mikveh, even though they already said the merchatz, is because we have to tell you beis hatefillah, even though there's not so much zuama as there is by the bathhouse, still is telling you that one will be exempt from the mezuzah in that type of case. So that's how Rav Kahana interprets the braisa. Again, l'shitasa. And Rabbi Yehuda mitatsa tamei, and Rabbi Yehuda interprets it according to his opinion. And Hochiktan, he says that you have to read the braisa as follows. When it says in the pasuk beisecha, your house, it means beisecha miyuchalach, what's separated, what's distinct and unique just for the human living conditions. Pratla beis hatevin, that excludes the place where the straw is kept, or beis habak, where the animals are kept, or beis ha'etzim, and the house for the firewood, or beis ha'etzis, and the room for the storage house, shepetuim and the mezuzah, afila miskashtes. And this is what he's adding on, which is l'shitasa, which is that even though that's where the women adorn themselves, still that doesn't make it into the domicile, the place where the living quarters are of the human, of the humans, and therefore it's still exempt from the mezuzah. But v'yesh mechayvin b'miskashtes. However, there are those that hold that you are chayv, which is going back on that opinion of miskashtes. However, if women do adorn themselves over there, then that will make it into a level of a base dira to say you're chayv. Aval stam, but a regular barn or a regular storage house, there diri hakol pata there, as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, there everyone agrees that it would be exempt. There is no base dira element to it to say that it's chayv in a mezuzah. Now, the braisa concludes, according to Rav Yehuda, be'emes amr, in truth they said, that beis hakisei, a bathroom, a beis habortzike, and a tannery, a beis hamerchatz, and a bathhouse, a beis hatvila, and a place where the women immerse themselves. So, af al pi, and this is how he interprets ne'osis, which ne'osis is going back on these cases, not like Rav Kahana interpreted back on the previous case of beis habakar and beis hatevin, and that is af al pi shanoshim miskashtes behen, even though women adorn themselves in, let's say, in a tannery, but still, peturim in a mezuzah, they're still going to be exempt from a mezuzah. And that's because these cases are different than the beis habakar, where if women adorn themselves, according to one opinion, it would be chayv. Mishum the nafesh duame, because it's very foul and very filthy in the tannery, in the bathhouse, in the mikveh, and in the bathroom. And therefore, that's how he's interpreting ne'osis. Again, l'shitasa, that he says ne'osis means to be miskashet, to adorn oneself, even though these have women adorning, and there is an opinion that by adorning, at least by a beis habakar, beis hatevin, you're chayiv, here everyone would agree that you'd be pater because of the zuama, the filth that there is over there. So that's again how, again, l'shitasa, they interpret that braisa, their machlokes that they had that was quoted before. Now the Gemara asks on this last opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, stama divri hakol pater, is it really true the way he's saying that a regular barn, for example, those cases of Beis HaBakar, Beis HaTevin, Beis HaEitzer, he said everybody agrees it's going to be exempt. No one says, there is no opinion that says that you're going to be chayiv. It's only in the case of when women adorn themselves over there, where there is where the machlekes is. But is that really the case? But for time, in the Braisa, there seems to clearly contradict Rav Yehuda, and there is a Tanoic opinion that says, even by a regular barn with the women not beautifying themselves over there, still it's going to be chayiv in the mezuzah, as the Braisa tells us. It says in the Pasuk, by the mezuzahs, beisecha uvisharecha, and of those of your gates. Now that the Braisa says, echet shari batim, whether it be the gates of a house, v'echet shari chatzes, whether it be the gates of a courtyard, v'echet shari medinas, whether the gates of the provinces, v'echet shari yaris, whether it be the gates of the cities, v'refes, and a stable, again, which is the case of the beis habakar, v'lulin, and the place where the chickens are kept, umasvein, and the place where the straw is kept, v'oitzis yain, the storage houses of wine, v'oitzis shemen, in the storage houses of the oil, chayavin b'mezuzah, are chayiv, are obligated in having a mezuzah. And therefore, and the Gemara will continue in concluding, but this ultimately is the refutation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because you see a refes, a stable where the animals are kept, which doesn't say that the women beautify themselves over there, and yet still the Braisa is telling us that you chayiv mezuzah. So you see there is a Tanoic opinion that says even by stam, beis habakar, one would be chayiv in a mezuzah, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who said they only argue when, if the women are miskashtes ben. Now the Braisa continues, yochel shani marbis, I would think to include not just all these cases that they're chayiv in mezuzah. I would think af, even if we continue on to Amud Beis, beis shar, that even a gatehouse, which is a small little house that's made in front of the gates of the courtyard, and everyone uses it as a shortcut to go through over there, or achsadra, which is a small little entryway that's in front of the houses, umepeset, or which is some type of like a long porch that's in front of, let's say, like the second story apartments, I would think that these areas would also be mechuyev in the mezuzah. Tamaloy mebayis, that's why the pasuk tells us a term of bayis, and that is ma bayis miyuchad ladira, just like a house is designated for dwelling purposes. Yatsu elu she'im miyuchad ladira. So these, the beishar, the achsaj, and mepesed, which are not designated for dwelling. Maybe people use it as passageways, but not as dwelling. Therefore, these areas, even if they had a side post, would not, and a lintel, would not be mechuyev in a mezuzah. Now, Marbaisa continues the logic. Yochel shani marbaf beisakisa. I would think to include in the chiva mezuzah also a bathroom, a beis abrutzike, and a tannery, a beis amerchetz, and a bathhouse, a beis tefila, and a mikvah, included in places that are bias, that are mechuyev in mezuzah. Tamalim bias, again, they use the term of house. What does that mean? Ma bias ha'asa l'chavah, just like a house is meant for dignified purposes, for normal dwelling in an honorable way, av kol asa l'chavah, so to anything else that's made to be in a dignified, honorable manner, yatsu elu she'in asu l'chavah, these areas are excluded because they're not meant to be used in an honorable fashion. There's a bathroom, these are places that are filthy, that are not, that don't have the same standard as what a bias is supposed to be, and therefore they're exempt from mezuzah. And finally, the Braisa Kadina says, Yochel shani marba af har bayis. I would think to include in the chiv mezuzah also the temple mount, v'halashachis, and the chambers, v'azaris, and the courtyards, regarding the mezuzahs over there by their side post, that you would have to have a mezuzah with the parashis inside over there. Again, tamalim mebayis. That's the pasuk teaches you again with the same term of bayis, that ma bayis juchel, just like one's house is not sanctified, it has maybe some ruchnias over there, but it's not kaddish in the sense like the Beis HaMikdash is. Af kol shulchel, therefore that includes any other bayis, any other area dwelling quarters that are that's not consecrated. Yeah, so elush and kodesh, that excludes the har bayis and the lashachas and azara, which are sanctified, and therefore they're not mechuyev in the mezuzah. However, the Gemara concludes to yufta. This obviously, as we had demonstrated on Amud Av, refutes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And obviously, you have to say that even the case of stam beis habakar, even without the woman being miskashas over there, is a machleikis tanoim, like Rav Kahana and Nalak Rav Yehuda, who said that everyone agrees that one will be pater in such a case. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of regarding the halacha mezuzis by sha'arim, by gates. The Gemara says, a tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda kamei de Rava. He said the following halacha, shisha sha'arim p'turim in mezuzah. There are six gates that are exempt from mezuzah, and they are beis hateven, there's the gates of a place where the straw is kept, ubeis habakar, and from the barn, ubeis ha'etzim, and where the firewood is kept, ubeis ha'etzeris, and the house of where the storage is, ubeishah ha'madai, and a median gate. Now, what that means is because in madai, they would make the gate, like, it would end, the top would be like an arch, as they make over there in madai, ubeishah she'en makura, and a gate that doesn't have a roof, and that is its breach from the top, there is no top to the roof, and a gate that doesn't have a height of 10 tefachim, these six gates are exempt from the chiyuv of mezuzah. So Amalei, so Rava asked him back, he says, wait, Pesach de Beshisha, you opened up your statement by saying that there are six gates that are exempt from mezuzah, v'salach de Beshiva, and you ended up saying seven. What does that mean? Why did you say there's six when you counted seven? So Amalei said to him, the reason is because shaha madi tanoihid. I mean to say there are six that everyone agrees on, and although I said seven, is because there's one of them, the shaha madi is a machlekes tanoim. The Tanakh learned the braisa. Kippa, which is essentially a shaha madi, that means an arch, which is an opening, not like a ches, but rather like a half of a circle. So if it's made like an arch, we have a machlekes. Remeir mechayev b'mezuzah. Remeir holds that you're chayev, and you're obligated mezuzah in such a entryway. Chacham poitin, however, chacham hold that you're going to be exempt, and the reason is because a gate requires a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim. Now, an arch narrows on the top, where then the width is not the width of the 4 tefachim, and therefore, since you're missing the criteria of an entryway, therefore, that's not going to be obligated in the mezuzah. However, the Braisa says, B'shavim, they both agree, she'im yesh baragla asara, that if there is from the bottom, which means from the feet, a height of 10 tefachim, before it starts rounding off on the top into the arch, where then it diminishes in the width from 4 tefachim, that there, even the Rabbanu, the Chacham would agree, she'chayav es b'mezuzah, that then that arch, that entryway of the madai, would be chayav in the mezuzah, because even if it was totally closed, it wasn't even open at all, that top of it, it still would have the shear because it would already have had a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim before it narrows, and therefore, even if it was totally closed, and most definitely if it's not even closed, it's just narrowing, that's not a problem because as long as you have the requisite shear before it narrows of 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim in the width, so that would, according to everybody, would be chayav in the mezuzah. Now, Omar Abaye, regarding this machlekes, that's why he said it's only six, because the seventh one, the Bshara Mada, is machlekes. Abaye came to clarify this machlekes, and he said as follows. The Kula Yama Gevah Yud, everyone agrees that if the height, the total height, is 10 tefachim, the Ein Baragla Gimel, and however, there is no height within the first three tefachim before it starts narrowing, because we're saying it narrows, but where does it narrow? If within the first three tefachim from the ground, it already narrows to an area less than four tefachim in the width, everyone agrees of Olav Klomi. That's nothing, even according to Rav Meir, because anything less than three tefachim from the ground is considered an extension of the ground. Now, what that means is that if it already narrowed to less than four tefachim in the width before it got over a height of three tefachim, that means it never had a shame, never had an element, a name of an entryway. And therefore, even Rav Meir would agree that there's nothing that started here to then, as we'll learn later, to then extend it to make it, to open it more. There is no shame Pesach over here. It has to have something in some area, a width of four tefachim, which is only if it extends past three tefachim from the ground, because if it's below three tefachim, they're already narrowing to less than four tefachim, there's nothing here, because that's just an extension from the ground, to say that there's an opening to then widen it up. So they're ever agree in such a case that one would be exempt from the mezuzah. Inami, similarly, yesh baragla gimel. Let's say there was a height of, there was a width of four tefachim within three tefachim from the ground. That is, it didn't start narrowing to less than four tefachim before it got to a height of three tefachim. So there was a height of three tefachim, and only after a height of three tefachim did it start narrowing. However, v'in gevay yud. However, the total height of this entryway, including where it starts narrowing on the top, does not have a height of 10 tefachim. So there again, v'lav klomi, everyone would agree in such a case that it's not an entryway to require mezuzah, because the mezuzah, the Pesach, has to have a height of 10 tefachim. So even if it has within 3 tefachim, let's say it only narrows to less than 4 tefachim, 5 tefachim up, however, if it doesn't go higher than 10 to a height of 10 tefachim, so that's not worth anything, because that's also one of the criteria. Loi nechleku, their whole machlekes was, ele begevaya yud, it has a height of 10 tefachim, in other words, including the area where it narrows, where the arch is on the top, and v'yesh b'ragla gimel, and there is a width of 4 tefachim above a height of 3 tefachim from the ground. However, v'im b'rach v'dalad, there is no width of 4 tefachim before it reaches a height of 10 tefachim. That is, before it reaches a height of 10 tefachim, it already narrowed to an area of less than the width of 4 tefachim. However, v'yesh b'lochuk, there is area in the wall of where the entryway is to carve out and to widen the hole of the opening to an area on the top to equal what's on the bottom, l'hashlim l'arba, to complete it to a width of 4 tefachim. And that is, the wall that was where the entryway was not paralleling and mirroring the entryway itself. As some Gemaras have a picture, almost like it shows like a triangle, which is that the outside would be the same triangle, which would mean that there's no area to carve out beyond that. If it narrows, it narrows. There's nothing else to extend it. Rather, the wall was like a ches. Now, inside that ches was where you have an arch, which is narrowing, but there's area in the wall that you could extend, you could expand the opening if you wanted to. And that is where we have the machlekes Remei and Rabban. And that is Remei holds that since it started at least a width of 4 tefachim above a height of 3 tefachim, so there's already what's called a shame pesach on it. It already has the definition of an opening. It might not be enough for the halachas of mezuzah, which require an opening of a height of 10 tefachim, but since it has that width above 3 tefachim, which takes it beyond the area of the ground, so therefore, he holds chaykin lahashlam, that you could carve out to complete, and that is, you view as if you carved out above in the wall area to expand the measurements on the top to equal that of the bottom, and hence we view it as if that top part, which is 10 tefachim high, but narrowed, as if we're extending that rounded part to extend it out to the area of the ches, which is on the bottom, which is the width of 4 tefachim. So ultimately, the way, if you view it in that virtual way, you see an opening of dal tefachim in the width and a height of 10 tefachim equal from top to bottom. Rabban Tzav, Rabban hold, ein chaykin lahashlam. We don't view this virtual opening as if we carve it out to complete it, and therefore one would be potter in such a case because it doesn't have ultimately a height of 10 tefachim together by an area of 4 tefachim. It only has it on the bottom, but then it narrows on the top. And that's why he only said six, not seven, because one of the cases actually is machlekes Rabbeinu and Rabbanan, if one is chayev or pater in the mezuzah in such a case. Now the Gemara continues on the halachas of mezuzah. Turn by the brisa. Beis haknesses, a shul, or beis isha and a house of a woman, or beis hashutvin in the house of partners, chayeves b'mezuzah. All these three cases are obligated in having a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, pshita, why would you think a woman's house or a partner's house is not obligated in a mezuzah? So that the Gemara says, because ma'udetema beisecha, I would have thought to define the word in the pasuk that says the mezuzah is of your house, which is in the male context, v'loy beisa, and not her house. Similarly, beisecha, which is singular, v'loy boteihem, and not their house. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brayis is teaching, that you would be chayv. That the Gemara asked, what do I mean? Ve'im ha'chanami would maybe say that Beisecha is telling us exactly how it should be, that it only has to be an individual and a male, not a female, or that's shared by partners. So that the Gemara says, Amakre, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Sefer Devarim. It says, if one keeps the mitzvah of mezuzah, it says, Laman yirbu yumeichem bimei v'neichem, that it should extend the days of your life and the days of the life of your children. Now, Hani boy chai v'hani lo boy chai. What do you mean? You think men or individuals that are not partners or that are not women, they need life, and women or partners don't need life? It sounds like from the pasuk that whoever wants life is obligated in the chiv mezuzah, and therefore, of course, women and partners want life, and therefore their houses are also mechuyiv in the mezuzah. But then the Gemara asks, so ele beisecha lamali, but then why do I need the Torah to use that term of beisecha if it was coming to tell you that yours and not hers, or yours and not theirs? So I can understand why the Torah tells it to you. But now that we're not interpreting it like that, because we're saying hers and theirs are mechuyiv in mezuzah, so why does the Torah use that term? Now the Gemara says, k'de Rava, they teach a different halacha, the halacha that Rava says, d'amar Rava, derech bi'ascha. When it's saying beisecha, it's used in the context of bi'ascha, the way you come into your house, which is that one, the way one comes in is he comes into the right side of his house first, but it's telling you that the mezuzah goes on how you come into your house, not how you leave your house. And v'chi akar inish kar, when a person picks up his foot, the yamina akar bereisha, generally picks up his right foot first, which is he's coming in his right side first into the house. So that's where we put the mezuzah, on the right side of when you come in. Biascha, not yitziascha, not how you leave. And how do you come in? You come in with the right side, and that's where the mezuzah is, on the right side of the entryway into the house. That's the drasha of beisecha, of biascha. Similarly, the Gemara says a similar halacha regarding a different area of halacha. Is tani duchler, another braisa. Again, beis haknesses a shul, or beis hashutfen, a house of partners, or beis ish in a woman's house, mitamim b'negam. They contract the tumah of negaim if there's tzaras on their house. So the Gemara says again, pshita, it's pretty obvious. Why would you think a woman's house or a partner's house is different than anyone else's? On that, the Gemara says, ma'adatim, I would have thought to say, it says in the pasuk of the Yikra, uva ashalo habayis, that he, who he, it's his house, he comes to the house, regarding this nega with it, that's on the house. So I would have thought to say, loy v'loy la. His, but not hers. And similarly, loy, his, v'loy lehen, not theirs. Kamash Lan, that's what the Chiddush of the Brayis is telling you, that no, they also would contract the tumah of the nega. But that the Gemara asked, ve'im hachanami, what do you mean? Say that loy means his, not hers, and his means his, not theirs. On that, the Gemara says, amakra, that's what the Pasuk teaches you in Bayikra. It says, beveis eretz achuzaskim, that if there'll be a nega on the house that you'll have in the land of your inheritance, where it says a generic, general term of bias, not yours or his. And that's why it includes hers and theirs. But then the Gemara asks, Eloi Lomali, but then why do I need the Torah to say his if it's not coming to exclude hers and theirs? So on that, the Gemara says, a moral lesson is what the Gemara, is what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. And that Mishmeyachad Beisoy Loi, someone that separates his house just for himself, and that is the tools and the utensils in his house only he uses. She'ena roitz lahashakev, he doesn't want to lend out his garments, his car, his stuff to anybody else. V'ayim she'enli, he says, I don't have. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefarsimoy kesh mefanes beisei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will publicize and show you do have. And when is Hashem going to show? When you have to clear out your house. Why do you have to clear out your house? Because of the nega, you have to take everything out. And that's what the lesson of the pasuk is teaching you, that loy, that it was his, meaning to say he was the only one that used his stuff. No one else knew about it because he didn't want to share it with anyone else. So it's coming to teach a lesson that a nega comes because of miserliness, because of being stingy. That's why the nega came. prat that's coming to exclude, and that's the lesson that Pasuk is teaching us, l'mashal keil lachem, someone that lends out his stuff to other people will not get the punishment of a nega. And that's what Lo is teaching, not to exclude hers and theirs, but rather to say because he only kept it for himself. Now the Gemara asks on one of those three halachas that it said that it will contract the tumah of nega, is it true that a shul can contract the tumah of a nega? But Vatani learned the braisa that says, Yochel you but the kinesis about the midrashas mitam negam. You would think that a shul or base medrash would contract the tumah of a negam. Tamalema, as the pasuk teaches you, Ovasha loy habayis, that him who it's his house will come to the house. The drasha is Misha miyuchad loy, someone that it's distinct, that it's only his. Yatsu elu shem yuchad loy, that excludes these, which is a shul and the base medrash, which are not distinct for one person. It's everybody's, will not contract the tumah of a nega. So is the Beis HaKnesses mekabel the tumah of nega or not? Now the Gemara says, loy kasha. The Gemara brings three terutzim. Har remeya, har rabbanan. The Braisa says that you're going to be, it will be chayiv, it will contract the tumah of nega, that's like remeya. And har rabbanan, the one that says it will be exempt, is rabbanan, time like we learned in the Braisa. Beis HaKnesses, sheyesh ba beis dira lechaz, na knesses, chayiv b'mezuzah. So similar halacha regarding what's considered a bais hamayuchad loy, which is halacha that applies both to mezuzah, which is what we started off with. And then we introduced regarding the nega, which is also bais hamayuchad loy. So we find regarding the case of mezuzah, a shul that has an apartment for the attendant of the shul, so that everyone agrees is chayiv b'mezuzah. However, v'she'im ba beis dira, that does not have an apartment there for the chazna knesses. Now we have machlekes, remeir mechayiv, acham patron. And that's the same achlekes to have regarding the nega. Is a shul considered bayis hamayuchad loy to be mechayiv in mezuzah? That's remeir. Hence, he would hold that a nega would also fall into that category and also be mekabel the tumah of a nega. Chacham hold that it's not, and therefore you're pater from mezuzah, and hence it will not contract the tumah of a nega. And if you want, you could say a second teretz. It's hava ha rabban of lekasha. Both prices that talk about a bayis hakneses being mekabel tumah nega and not are both like the opinion of the rabban. It's still not a contradiction, because the Braisa says that's going to be chayiv, in other words, that it will contract the tumah of a nega, is the isba beis dira. We're talking about a shul that has an apartment for the chazna knesses, which, as we said, regarding the halachas of mezuzah, even the rabban agreed that it will be considered a bayis hamayuchad loy. The lesba beis dira, the case where they said that a shul is pater from the tumah of a nega, is talking about a case that there is no apartment, as they said, regarding the halachas of mezuzah. Finally, v'ibayisim, if you want, you can say a third teretz, is havahad the lesba beis dira. No, they're both talking about that there is no apartment for the chazna knesses in the beis haknesses. We continue on top of your beis haminav. So how do we understand the contradiction if a beis haknesses is going to be mekabel tumah of nega or not? So it depends what type of shul we're talking about that does not have a beis dira. V'ha, the case where they said that it will not be metame with the nega, is talking about the krachim. We're talking about the shul of the cities, which is a place where the marketplaces are, and many people from all over come and gather over there in those places. Now, such a shul is made for anyone that wants to come and daven there, and it doesn't have any distinct owners that run the shul because everybody comes to such a shul. Hence, that's not meyuchad loy, even in the plural sense, it's not meyuchad for anybody because everybody comes to such a shul. There is where the rabban say that will not be mekabel tumah of a nega. It won't fit into that category of meyuchad loy. V'ha, however, regarding the shul that they said that it will be mekabel tumah of a nega, is the kfarm, is the shul of villages, and that is even though there's no chazna knesses that lives over there, but all the owners that have a rights in this shul are recognizable because it's a small little village. We know everyone that davens over here, so in a sense it is meyuchid lahem. Hence, we consider such a shul like a beis hashutven, like partners, not just everybody having a say, because it's not everyone from all the world, it's just a little village. And that's why the Rabbanu hold in such a case that it would be mekabel the tumah of a negah.